We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Stort for the win. It's good. Krzyzewski takes flight as SGA plays through the contact, banks it in on the foul.
What is up, Thunder fans? And welcome to the Uncontested Postgame Podcast. That is right. We are back with our first postgame podcast of the 2021-2022 season. Seems crazy, but here we are to recap this game. We are a proud part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the official podcast of SI Thunder. And I'm joined by none other than my good friend and co-host, a hero and a saint for joining me on this one, Jacob Niffen.
What's up?
Before I get any further, speaking of Jacob, him and I will be out at the Prairie Tap House. Being the Tulsan that I am, I always want to call it Prairie Brew Pub because we had a Prairie Brew Pub restaurant in Tulsa that kind of had a like partnership with the Prairie Elves, and so they had like a little restaurant in Tulsa. Anyways, I keep wanting to call it that, but it's the Prairie Tap Room. Jacob and I will be there Friday night for the Houston Rockets game, 7 p.m. Central Time. We're going to have a watch party. Really excited about it. It's coming together greatly. There's going to be food specials. He's giving you guys a for those of you on the live stream, we have a sneak peek preview of the awesome decals / stickers that our guy Justin put together. It's going to be a ton of fun. Food specials, your first beers on us, and we're going to have some giveaways. And not only that, but unlike tonight's game where the Thunder were playing a quote-unquote championship contender, they'll actually be playing against a team in a very similar boat as themselves. I think it's going to be competitive and a lot of fun. Jalen Green versus Giddy. Shangoon versus JRE. It'll be a blast. So come out and join Jacob and I. We're really excited about it. Jacob, you have anything else to add?
No, we're super pumped. Free stickers, free beer, immaculate vibes, fun basketball, food
the
deals.
The two most handsome hosts hanging of the out. Uncontested. I mean, what more could you ask for?
It's going to be a blast. Like, legit, we cannot wait. We are super excited, and we hope that you guys will come out. Bring your friends. It's Friday night. Get off of work. Come get a free beer. Get some good food from a local place. Help out a local restaurant in Magazine Table. Hang out at Prairie. They're going to have the big screen up. Taylor and I are actually going to post-game pod from there, yes. So you can hang out with us for the post-game pod. Should just be a really, really good evening, and we cannot wait to see all you guys out there. So come chill, come say what's up to us, have a good time, and enjoy some Thunder basketball. Like Taylor mentioned, I think it'll be a much more competitive game than tonight was.
Well, that's a pretty good transition. This is actually a pretty good transition. Our guy Colin Reed on YouTube, longtime follower and listener, has a pretty funny comment here. Whenever Jacob, or I think he means whatever, Jacob and Taylor are going to provide, will be more assists Friday with the free beer than the Thunder all season.
We're going to rival Josh Giddey with those dimes on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's
dropping
right.
Dropping free beers all that across right. the, yeah. all across the, Prairie.
Ooh, yeah. It was a little rough, Jacob. just going through these stats, I mean, I haven't even mentioned the score yet. Obviously, you guys can tell from our tone and our comments, the Thunder dropped their first game of the season. 107-86, 0-82.
Still on
the table. That's right. Tanking for Chet or Chet Paulo the bed. Or, yeah, that's right.
Chet the bed. Or it's going to be really hard to come up with a funny one for Paulo Banchero.
Yeah, that's
I don't know if we're going to find a rhyme for that one.
Might have to stick with something like Duke that rhymes with Duke.
Yeah.
all that being said, Jacob, it was a little rough tonight. Just some quick stats before we dive into some actual things from the game. The Thunder shoot 34 of 91, 37.4% compared to the Jazz's 40 of 91, which wasn't much better, right? 44%. But the big one here from a shooting standpoint, the Thunder shot 35 threes. That's great. What was not great is they only made 7 of them. That's 20% from the floor. Again, kind of interesting. The Utah Jazz only ended up, they were 29.8% from 3. But just a pretty poor shooting performances from both teams there. Now, one thing that was pretty apparent, I think, in the first half was, and something that we've talked about all preseason leading up into the season during this past offseason, was the lack of size that the Thunder have and allowing teams to be able to score in the paint. Mm-hmm. However, like when I'm looking at the rebounds, there was a pretty big discrepancy there in the first half, but it ended up only being in favor of Utah 59-58 in terms of rebounds. I thought that was interesting. I actually don't have points in the paints on points in the paint on this app, although it wasn't pretty, but 14 turnovers for OKC, 15 fouls compared to Utah's 19 fouls. They cleaned that up in the second half. That was a good improvement. But again, not the prettiest performance overall from this young Thunder team, as expected.
The biggest difference, you mentioned it, Thunder 7 of 35 from 3, Utah 14 of 47 from 3. That's a 7-3 difference. That's 21 points. Thunder lost this game by 21 points. There's your difference, is that Utah hit threes and the Thunder did not. We're also getting some great comments.
Ooh, yes,
on YouTube
point.
Here, banking for Banchero, blow for Banchero. I like them both. Thank you, guys.
Keep them coming. And send us some questions as well. We'll try and get to those at the end of the podcast.
Definitely. So we can talk individual players. Taylor, I think there's some bigger themes we can discuss. But before we dive we're already 6.5 minutes in. Before we dive any deeper into this one, I just want to give a message to our listeners. Two Thunder fans out there. Did this game, like, was it fun? Not necessarily. I think it was kind of fun because it was game number one.
Right.
But it was an ass beating. Like, let's call it what it is. Right. But you have to keep the perspective. The Utah Jazz are legit trying to win an NBA title this year. And they are one of the top favorites in the league to win a title. The Thunder are actively trying to play young players and focus on development. They're more concerned with player growth than wins on the scoreboard right now. So that's the first major gap today. The other thing is, as Thunder fans, you have to take the long view approach here. It's not about, did you keep the game close against Utah? It's about, we have film of Trey Mann, of Darius Bazley, of Josh Giddey, of Jeremiah Robinson Earl. We have film of them in October, and we want to compare that to film of them in April to measure growth, right? I have a problem whenever I kind of evaluate this team, Taylor, of looking at it from the lens of my profession, which is education. And in education, everything is about growth. It's about my students come to me knowing this, and when they leave my class a year later, how much have they grown? How much have they learned? We do tests in school. We do assessments in school to see how much kids grow and how much they learn, right? It's the same thing for the Oklahoma City Thunder this year. These games are tests. And game to game, like tonight to Friday, you're not going to see a big change. But tonight to Christmas, you will. Mm-hmm. Christmas to Easter, you will. And that's the big thing that we're looking for, is this growth over time. So don't be discouraged. Don't feel like it's not worth watching because they're not racking up W's. The investment this season is watching these young guys learn the NBA game, process it, get better and quote unquote see the game slow down for them, because that's how you start turning these good players into great players, right? And that's the whole mindset of the Oklahoma City Thunder this year. So I just wanted to preface our first post-game pod of the season. That is what we are looking for. We are not looking for, oh man, they almost won this game. Like, the end result doesn't really matter. It's the progress over time.
I couldn't have said that any better. That's perfect. Like you said, it's your profession, I think, is a perfect way to look at that as well, especially the stage that the Thunder find themselves in. Obviously, that's been brought up a lot by Dignall and Presti both over almost consistently, really. Almost anytime you talk to them, they bring that up. And I think you're exactly spot on there. So maybe that's a good transition to some of the themes we saw for the team that I think, you know, some of the stats that I mentioned at the top of this podcast, the shooting, the rebounds, the fouls, the turnovers, those are things and some themes I think that we can look forward to seeing start to be corrected, start to improve. So come Christmas, maybe the Thunder aren't fouling quite as much as they did the first game of the regular season. Mm-hmm. maybe they aren't turning the ball over quite as much or taking care of the ball. But some things that really stood out to me, and this is something you tweet about, at the very beginning of the game, I noticed there was a ton of off-ball picks trying to get players open, such as Shea off-ball, Giddey, basically trying to create space for them to be able to drive through the rim, create for others, or like to get Lu Dort open for a three. But as the game went along, there was not much ball movement at all. It was very much the old Thunder way of your turn, my turn. Not so much in the sense that they would call those plays, but because there's just nothing available. Like, it's a very solid, you know, like you mentioned, a veteran team in the Utah Jazz. They're solid defense. These inexperienced players, and even the more experienced players, are just not a lot of chemistry, I think, with that starting five, which is the most important, but just throughout the team in general so far.
Totally agree. I tweeted at one point tonight, Taylor, that in the third quarter, the offense looked a lot more like five individuals playing basketball than one unit playing basketball. And I think that will correct over time, and they'll get better at that over time. It just kind of seemed a little disorganized and discombobulated. It seemed like a lot of, like you mentioned, your turn, my turn type of stuff. So hopefully they start to get that hammered out and there starts to become more of a flow, because when you have as good of passers as this team has, you want to see more of that, like an offense on a string where guys are moving and cutting, kind of Denver-esque with Nikola Jokic in a way where guys are cutting off ball and whatnot. And you just didn't see a lot of that tonight. So hopefully they can start to build that over time.
Absolutely. I think, you know, again, this is one of my biggest themes heading into the season, that Giddey SGA chemistry still just isn't quite there, which we don't expect it to be. Again, this is all with the disclaimer that this is the first game of the season. But, you know, I had a lot of people tweeting at me, Jacob, from the account tonight saying, man, like SGA just keeps taking the ball into ISO. Why are they not letting Giddey initiate more offense? I think a lot of that's a fair point, but it's not that Dignall was calling those ISO plays. It was more so what we're getting at. There just wasn't a lot of opportunity. The plays break down. And so when there's only 10 seconds left on the shot clock, 14 seconds left on the shot clock, you see Shea basically having to go ISO, try and drive and either finish around the rim, draw the foul, or kick out, create for his teammates. I think that's where a lot of that probably stems from, rather than just not letting Giddey run the offense.
I think that's fair. And Coach Dignall had a quote the other day where he said it was one of those preseason games against Denver that in a timeout, they called a play, like a scoring play, to try to get Shea going because they knew Shea needed to get a bucket and get in a rhythm. And once the guys jogged down on the court, Shea talked to Giddey and said, hey, we're not going to run this play for me. We're going to run it for you to get you a bucket. Really showing a level of leadership and maturity. Preseason. So yep. That they don't want to get in a chemistry and play off each other. It's just that takes time.
Right.
It takes time, and there's nothing that can make it happen rather than reps. You just have to get reps in to build that chemistry. But from all accounts, they get along great and they're working together. It's just going to take some time.
Right. Now, one thing that Dignall also mentioned there, that I want to bring up is that he said that was something that Chris Paul did when he was on this Thunder team. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know,
we're still seeing the ripple effects of that Chris Paul leadership.
Which is pretty amazing.
If you pull up podcasts from us from 20 months ago, Taylor, we talked about that, the impact that Chris's impact on Shea and how we would see it 5-6 years down the line.
And we're starting to see it now. And
he instilled so much in those kids.
Which it's going to be even more fun, I think, to look at it 2-4 years down the line and maybe even see some of that installed in Giddy, right? Passed down from Shea, which I think will be really cool. But hey, speaking of Shea, are there any other team-wide themes? You know, I think the only other thing that stuck out to me the most, other than the stats I mentioned at the top of the podcast, were the defensive rotations, which are expected from
Got bludgeoned inside, which we expected.
Right.
And that's then a lot of those secondary efforts and rotations and closing out and helping rotations. The helper wasn't really there.
Yes. Yes.
But when you're getting your ass beat by 30, like I kind of get it too. You
know? Well, and also just when you're playing all these young, inexperienced players, you're playing them all together. It's their first game playing together with a lot of these guys.
I thought some of the young guys played really good defense.
Fair.
I thought
Giddy
and Trey Mann specifically, I thought played pretty good positional defense, getting their body in front of the ball.
That's a JRE.
Well, and
Poku even had a great play in the corner where he had a Clarkson in the corner and played some fantastic on-ball defense on him. Was able to use Poku's size and length to his advantage because when Clarkson does his little, you know, fancy step back and tried to pull up for a three, you know, Poku held his ground, was able to use his length and still contest a shot. The issue was he goes in for the rebound, right? Utah gets it, kicks it back out. Poku finds himself lost down under the basket, and then Clarkson's able to hit another corner three because nobody's out there to contest a shot.
Yeah. I have some more thoughts on defensive players, but you were about to transition to Shea, so let's do that.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Shea was a lot of what we saw in preseason. And again, this isn't like a knock on Shea saying he's going to have a bad season, nothing like that. I mean, the fact that he still had 18 points in this game, 7-17 from the floor, is pretty impressive. Because a lot of times, again, with the lack of chemistry that we saw, that we just mentioned, it very much felt like he almost felt the need to go 1-on-5. And it was impressive. The thing that continues to stick out to me the most about Shea is he essentially can get his shot off whenever he wants to and can get to his spots almost whenever he wants to. Again, against a very good Utah defense. The shot's just not going yet. But I think we're only a game or two or maybe less. Maybe it's more of like a half or a quarter away from Shea just catching fire, whether that be the step back three going, get the mid-range going. We saw some of those where he drives. He basically is able to create space by kind of without committing an offensive foul, is able to create space.
Leaning into his defense.
Right.
He got that open little free throw line J multiple times tonight.
That's what I was thinking.
After driving and leaning into his man.
That elbow shot.
He just couldn't get it to drop, and it will drop. And then the three, he was 1-of-7 tonight.
The three ball
looks good. It's going to get there. It's going to get there. Some of them were highly contested. Yeah.
But what I loved was him initiating contact. He only got to the free throw line 5 times, shot from the free throw line 5 times. I thought that was kind of interesting because I felt like he was initiating a lot more contact than that. Mm-hmm. But again, a thing that we talked a lot about last year into this preseason, Shea's going to continue to drive and get to the rim led the league in drives per possession last season. I think that's going to continue or be very close, very close to leading the league again this season.
Definitely. And I mean, the first bucket of the game was Shea going straight at Rudy Gobert and finishing around him. And then my favorite bucket of the game was the second bucket where Lou Dort put Rudy Gobert in row six.
Oh my gosh. Just full on, like, Marshawn Lynch lowers the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
He just trucked him. It was impressive.
Unfortunately, Lou didn't finish around the rim much better after that. But yeah. The aggressiveness was still there.
Taylor, one thing that left a bit of a bad taste in my mouth tonight was Shea's defense.
Yeah, that's
fair. I felt like it was very lackluster. I felt like there wasn't a lot of effort. I feel like Shea has the ability to be an incredibly good defender. And it's just he doesn't really buy in on that end very much. I hope to see some growth from him there this season and more effort, because tonight I felt like that wasn't there.
That is a fantastic point that I noticed but never tweeted, didn't really dive into. I'm really glad you brought that up.
He's very lackadaisical getting over screens. He doesn't.
And we saw some of that last season.
If Shea would work as hard on defense as Lou does, I think Shea could be as good of a defender as Lou.
Yeah.
Is that a hot take?
No, not at all. I think you're sorry. Nick sent me one of his tweets, and I just wanted to, and we're actually going to bring this point up. I'm glad he sent it to me. So I was just making sure nothing like crazy happened. it was just something Dave not confirmed. However, I'm exactly with you. Shea has all the physical tools. We've seen that, right? We've seen him put on the size and the strength. He's utilizing it on the offensive end. We've seen it in the past that he can utilize it on the defensive end, but you're exactly right. It's almost like I know what this season is. I know what this game is. I don't really want to buy in on the defensive end because it doesn't really matter for me right now, which that's not Shea's personality per se, but it was interesting to see. And I'm exactly with you. I want to see him buy in because I think the one of the things that stood out to me the most about a player we'll get into in Josh Giddey is he can be a solid defender at this level, even as a rookie. So you have a starting five, presumably of consisting of Giddey, Shea, and Lou. They're all bought in. I mean, that's a really fun three right there, you know, guarding basically guards in the wings. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm exactly with you. I think that's a really good point.
Let's move on to a couple other players real quick. Try to churn this out. We got to talk about Josh Giddey, 2 of 7 from the field. Did not attempt a three. His two makes were both floaters, which was fun
nice floaters.
And nice to see. Yeah. Only 3 assists. I felt like he made a lot of really high level passes though, especially
we're
that pick
that
and roll to
season.
Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
That was gorgeous.
But 10 rebounds is very nice to see. He just utilized that size.
He led the team with rebounds.
And as most rebounds from any Thunder in their debut.
Any Thunder rookie in their NBA debut, which is really, really impressive. Only shot the ball 7 times. Again, like, it did not look like the Giddey we saw in the preseason. He just kind of looked a little lost on the offensive end. The chemistry just isn't quite there yet. But I will say to all those that were tweeting at me and stuff, it would be nice, especially we saw a lot where Dignot would stagger Giddey and Shea. After starting them together, closing with them together in the fourth, you know, he was staggering them. There was a little too much Théo Maledon for my liking. I know probably your liking as well. I would like to see Josh Giddey initiate the offense during those times in those lineups.
Yeah, I don't think that Théo should ever be initiating offense when Giddey or Shea is on the court.
Now, the issue is he was wide open from three, him being Théo, 3 or 4 different times.
Missed them all. Yeah,
exactly.
0 of 3 from three. And actually Dagnall post game today, confirming that is his guard rotation and Ty Jerome is not in it.
Yes. So that is the tweet that I alluded the text that I alluded to earlier that Nick sent on to me. That question was asked. I'm not sure if Nick asked it, he might have, he didn't provide details there, but yeah, basically saying that, Dignall is invested in this rotation, it seems like. It'll be interesting to evaluate this over a 5-10 game period, because at that point, I think we will probably have an actual rotation in intact. But it seems that Ty is out of favor with Dignall, which is interesting. Maybe that's a good transition, though, Jacob, into the first sub of the 2021-2022 season, none other than rookie Trey Mann.
Well,
that was a surprise for me. Sub
because Isaiah Roby came in first.
Oh, but Roby barely came in. Okay. Sorry, yes.
Yeah, let's talk Trey Mann. Other starters, I mean, Derek Favors exists. let's finish the starters real quick and let's just burn through. Derek Favors exists.
20 minutes.
Dort did not shoot the ball well. I thought his defense was on par with how it always is. There's nothing too alarming about Dort. I thought first half Baisley was not good, and I thought second half Baisley, I talk about this a lot on this podcast, Taylor. I thought second half Baisley was a little bit of mother effort Baisley. He got some little mother effort in him. He threw down two dunks. He got a little nasty.
I like that you're using this term this season because you're exactly right. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that poster that he had where he jabbed left on the right. Sorry. So if you're facing the basket, he was on the right wing. He gets the ball, jabs left, gets his defender off balance, drives to the rim, just strong, doesn't do anything else. But yeah, then he has a defender come up on him and just
not a defender. Hassan Whiteside.
Whiteside. I mean,
he yammed
fair.
It on
Hassan
Whiteside.
I mean, that was awesome. Yeah. I love how aggressive Baisley's been. And I'm sorry, I guess Baisley deserves a minute or so here before we dive into other players. I know we're running out of time.
Only one of seven from three for Baisley.
Yep.
But 5 of 14 from the field. Not efficient, but 15 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and only 1 turnover.
4 or 5 from the free throw line. That was great to see. Baisley just...
I like when he's aggressive and he's not passive.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think we're seeing that more consistently. But he's always, and again, on this team, it makes sense, but he's one that continues to take poor shot. It continues to have poor shot selection.
Yeah, I don't like when he catches the ball on the wing and is like indecisive and wants to jab step
and
a few times.
And he sits there and jab steps and pump fakes.
Like, I would just want him to be decisive. Catch the ball, rip through,
to the basket.
And go try to rip somebody's damn head off.
Yes, and I think that's what I'm hoping. I love that you said that because that's what I'm hoping to see the most from Baisley. Over, you know, like you said, maybe up until Christmas, decisiveness, right? There's no need for that jab step hesitation. You know what? You know, BS. Drive to the rim. Use your size and strength that you're starting to realize, right?
Assertive and decisive, I think, are the two big words for Baisley.
I love that.
Right. First sub off the bench was Roby, 4 of 8 from the field, 8 points, 6 rebounds.
Kind of like a lackluster night, but that, I mean, he had the poster of the night.
He yammed on that poor boy. That guy's got a family, Taylor.
I have the video. I was like so caught up in it all. I don't
That's
even
a
know
crime.
Who it was, but that was
it might have been Jared Butler.
Okay, yeah.
But we were leading into this, and I think maybe we don't. I mean, Jeremiah Robinson Earl shot the ball well tonight, just pick and pop because Utah strictly plays drop coverage. So he got tons of open shots. Poku. 0 of 2 from the field, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 turnovers. Nothing to write home about. We got some Vit Krejci minutes.
At the very end. Vit.
Kenrich played and did Kenrich stuff. Nothing to read into there. We already know how I feel about Maladon. So let's end the show, Taylor. Talking some Trey Mann.
Trey Mann, Jerry.
Trey Mann really impressed me tonight.
Me too. And I tweeted this out from the account. You know, Jacob, you and I have talked about this. We all have talked about this as a group within our podcast, but I did not expect Trey Mann to be so ready or so NBA ready so early. I expected him to be, honestly, physically weak in terms of being able to hold up defensively and also being able to create his own shot against bigger NBA defenders, longer NBA defenders. That's something we obviously have heard Giddey talk about, even the speed and pace of the game. Like, Trey Mann's been able to adjust in all of those areas. He only had, quote-unquote, 9 points only. But, man, he could have had way more. I mean, all of his shots looked on point. His stroke looks amazing. That step back is just about unguardable.
He's got a really nice, like, little hezzy rock back crossover that just creates much space.
Right. And from there, he can either drive to the rim or he can go into that step back that we keep talking about.
And he shot 4 of 7 tonight. Like you mentioned, 9 points, 1 of 2 from three, an assist, a steal, a block, a turnover. But maybe most impressive to me, and Nate Sanders hitting on it right here in the YouTube chat right now, his defense.
Absolutely.
He moved his feet really well. He guarded with his chest on his man, didn't use his hands, stayed in front of the ball. He did that multiple times against Jordan Clarkson, who's one of the slippier Is that a word? Slippier?
Slippiest.
But still, one of the slippiest guys in the league.
Sixth man of the year. He won that because of his scoring ability, and Trae Mann played some solid defense on him as a rookie.
I'm impressed with you.
Extremely impressed. I would like to see Trae Mann, and this is something, you know, throughout the season I hope to see develop, him being able to play a little more off ball, being able to move off ball and get open, and for obviously his teammates to be able to find him in those lineups, and for him to be able to just be more of a spot up shooter as well. But man, I mean, having that, no pun intended, man, having that off the bench to be able to utilize and to create offense for that bench unit that desperately needs it.
Yeah. That was great to see. I can see a scenario where Trae starts knocking down threes and guys close out on him, and you get Giddy and Shea drives that are kickouts to Trae, and guys close out to him, and he does the little head fake one dribble in, like that sidestep Harden type shot, where he steps back and just murders people with it. Like
he
looked very impressive tonight, and I was very excited.
Absolutely. Jacob, I know you have to jump off here pretty quick. If you need to go, I can finish this up. But I just want to mention really quick JRE as well, just because I think outside, I mean, if you consider Bazley a big, maybe this statement would be incorrect, but considering Bazley more of like a wing for this team, I think JRE maybe was the best big for OKC tonight in his rookie debut. 10 points, 4 of 6 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, just making all the right smart plays. He's he's NBA ready, just like we expected and we all talked about during the preseason. Really impressive stuff from both ends, I think, for JRE. I mean, I thought he even competed. Don't get me wrong, there was certainly a handful of rookie mistakes on the defensive end, but I thought he maybe even battled a little better than somebody like Roby did tonight.
Yeah. They're, like I mentioned, Utah notoriously plays drop coverage, so the pick and pop is always there against Utah. I thought he played that well. But what was more impressive to me, he had that pick and roll read with Josh Giddey. He had another like cut to the basket where someone passed it to him on a cut for like an open dunk. Giddey has said it multiple times, but the kid just has a very high basketball IQ, knows where to be, knows how to play. I've said it on this podcast before. I'll say it again. He's got a lot of, a Nick Collison in him.
Yes, absolutely.
Just very fundamental, very smart, very, very, intelligent player.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I keep saying that, but I agree with you.
Completely. I know. I just made great points that all you can do
right.
is just absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm Paul George, right? Isn't that what you, I think that's what he
absolutely,
used to
absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely. He always says it twice, though.
Yeah, right. You gotta repeat it. That's a must. But I will say, I think, you know, Derek Favors, he'll be in the lineup for a while, but I don't expect that to continue throughout the season. Where we
Favors
thought maybe
got 20 minutes tonight, I think that's probably going to be right on pace.
Exactly,
for him.
Exactly. He might start, but probably won't finish games, even if it's close. But I bring that up because, you know, we kind of talked about like the Thunder's fun, quote unquote, death lineup that we love to like see develop throughout the season, basically being the starters instead of Favors throwing Poku. Jacob, there's a real world if Poku, again, this is all the first game, but if Poku continues to struggle some, JRE might be the right player to plug in there.
Yeah.
Instead of,
well,
Poku,
I
kind of
want to see like a Shea, Trae, Lou, Giddey, Poku / Bazley lineup. I think that'd be a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of fun tinkering that Daigneault can. And I think it's the other thing. Maybe that's the thing we end on. Like, Daigneault has a lot of flexibility with this roster. Mm-hmm. A lot of different lineups to plug and play. We're going to see a lot of experimentation throughout the majority of the season. But I do hope he kind of like starts to settle on some of the best ones. And that's something maybe we can start to focus on as we go through some
And
of
he
these
played
games.
A lot of guys tonight. He played like 11 or 12 guys tonight.
Absolutely.
So.
And we might see that longer than like, see that rotation be longer than most teams later into the season, just for that
definitely,
very reason.
Definitely. Starting on Friday night.
That's right.
You can see it at Prairie Ale House, downtown OKC. Come hang out with Taylor and I as we watch the Thunder take on the Houston Rockets. We'll buy you a beer. We've got good food. We've got stickers. We've got giveaways. Taylor went and bought some stuff
we
to give
do.
Away today.
I didn't even mention that. Yeah, I got an official Thunder NBA game ball from the Thunder store, and got a pretty sick corduroy Thunder hat, you know, because the old school hats are coming back in style.
Definitely. We'll give away some beers at halftime as well, some more beers. It's going to be a good time. So come hang out with Taylor and I Friday night, October 22nd. Game tips at 7 p.m. Get there a little bit early to get yourself a seat, get yourself a beer, get yourself some food. I think Magus and Table, they're Vietnamese food, but they're going to do wings and fries for us for $10.
Awesome.
It's a deal. So come hang out. Taylor, take us out of here, man.
Well, Jacob, thank you again for joining me. Obviously, not the most fun game to break down, but what you guys can expect and gals can expect from the Uncontested throughout the seasons. We're always going to find some of the fun things, like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, player development, different themes that are going to continue to show throughout the season. The Thunder end up losing this one 107-86. 0-1 start the season. But the Uncontested is just getting started. So continue to stay tuned here at the Uncontested. We have you covered with post-game podcasts, with highlights, with our weekly podcast on Sunday. Be sure to tune in on Sunday evenings. We'll be live every Sunday evening. And then if you missed that, we'll also have that podcast form on Mondays. So continue to stay tuned. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Check out Blue Wire Podcast. Check out our friends over at SI Thunder. And until Friday, in person, Thunder up.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.